This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
324 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN with Derek Johnson. I'm Nick Schwert. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Matt Galloway in for the entirety of the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, a lot of misinformation being thrown around about a week before the NBA draft. Let's welcome on our next guest, Scott Pollard of Kansas Jayhawks fame. I know currently just left the Kansas area back to Indiana. Scott, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Just driving. My youngest son, he's in the background there. So if you hear him, he's just trying to get some airtime. He's just, you know, jealous I'm on the air and he's not.
Okay, that's fine. I understand the jealousy, man, because it is quite the accolade getting to come on with us here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. What do you remember about draft night? Where were you at? What were you doing?
I was actually in Las Vegas. This is 20 years ago when the draft wasn't on national TV. The most guys that weren't in the lottery didn't really bother to go because it wasn't on national TV. It wasn't nearly the hyped event that it is nowadays. And so unless you were a lottery pick or a guaranteed first round, you didn't go. And there was talk of me being in the second round or late first round at best. And I wasn't going to take a trip to New York and sit there through the whole first round and not get to go up and meet the commissioner. So I went out to Vegas to take the pressure off and just be out there with my family. And I ended up having to go into the sports book to watch the draft because, again, it wasn't on national TV. So the only place it was actually being shown that had a bunch of TVs on was the sports book. So I'm in there. And I think the first cell phone, maybe the first one. I don't know if the rules have changed since then. I don't do a lot of sports gambling. But at the time, you couldn't have a phone in the sports book. So I wasn't on my phone until my name got called, and I realized it was me, and then my phone started ringing off the hook. And then as soon as I got on the phone, they were like, sir, you have to leave. So then I got kicked out of the sports book.
You're like, dude, I just got drafted. I don't care what you tell me to do. So wait,
exactly.
Was there like a big party that ensued?
Yeah, the party ensued was a bunch of phone calls, flight arrangements to Detroit, and I jumped on the next flight the next morning to Detroit right from Vegas. And the press conference happened that afternoon, and then they started telling me what my schedule was for the rest of my life, basically. And that was it. There was no party with my friends or any of that stuff. It was time to get to work, and that's what I did.
Now, I'm sure obviously you're well aware, Josh Jackson, one of the top three or so prospects for the draft coming up next week. Where do you see him as far as a fit in the NBA? He's got his strengths, he's got some weaknesses, the shooting ability that people are going to look at. I remember about 5 years ago, you were pretty brutally honest about Thomas Robinson when he was going pro, and you kind of nailed that one on the head. So what's your NBA prediction outlook for Josh Jackson?
Well, first of all, I was much more confident in my assessment of Thomas Robinson having been broadcasting all the home games.
Sure.
On TV there. And so I was much more familiar with Thomas than I am with Josh. I saw Thomas play a lot more than I've seen Josh play. But I have met Josh. He's a good kid, great kid, actually. Not surprisingly, just saying, he's very well spoken. He seems like a very, very intelligent young man. And on top of that, I think coming out of college, I think he is a little bit more polished than, say, Andrew Wiggins was. But Andrew Wiggins had a whole lot more upside in that he is much taller than Josh Jackson and a freakish athlete. That Josh Jackson is a good athlete, a great athlete. But he's not a freakish athlete. I don't think I've ever seen anyone change ends of the floor faster or more gracefully than Andrew Wiggins. So there really isn't a comparison of those two other than to just say that Josh seems to be a little bit more well-rounded coming out of school than Andrew was. But Andrew has clearly started to manage his upside and become the freakish player in the NBA that we all kind of expect him to be. But Josh has a chance, I think, to be a very important member of the right team. I don't see him being a guy that is going to be a franchise changer, a franchise player. But again, my limited exposure to him on the court of watching him on TV, I didn't get to watch all the games this year. I saw a couple games live. But I think that Josh has a chance to be a key player in a rotation, maybe a starter, depending on which team he's on. But I don't see him being the franchise guy for anybody, really. But, as I always say, especially with Kansas kids, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he hears my words and says, you know what, I'm going to prove him wrong and anybody else that doubts me. And he shoves those words down my throat, because I love to see players outgrow their expectations or prove this old man wrong. I don't mind that. But you want my opinion, I'm going to give it to you.
Well, there was, of course, the anonymous GMs throwing out smoke screens and misinformation this time of year. But so one guy said that he thinks that Josh Jackson is the most Danny Ainge-type player in this draft. You were a member of the Celtics organization. What is a Danny Ainge-type player?
Well, I'm assuming that that player means that, or that GM means that Danny Ainge wants him.
Right. Yes.
So, not a comparison to Danny Ainge as a player, because they're very different. I don't think Danny Ainge caught a lot of alley-oop dunks, but just that's I don't know. I didn't see the highlights on that one.
We'll cross-check it.
What that person is referring to, obviously, is Danny Ainge is a guy that places a high level of importance of players that he's looking for on their intelligence. And Josh is a smart guy. And I'm sure that's what they're referring to, is that Danny doesn't go after the guys that are going to be problems, that are going to have personal problems, that aren't going to be able to understand work ethic, that aren't going to be able to understand plays, that aren't going to be able to understand being a professional, showing up on time, and all that kind of stuff. Because that's not a guarantee. When you're going into the lottery, there's a lot of kids with personal problems. There's a lot of kids that get swayed by their friends or their family or their circumstances. And they lose themselves when they have the freedom that professional athletes tend to have, because you're only working for 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe six if you're a real workhorse, but you have to rest and you have a lot of free time. And so Danny Ainge, and he's not the only one, but he's pretty well known for going after guys that are intelligent, that are going to be able to take care of themselves. And I believe Josh Jackson does fit into that category.
We're talking to Scott Pollard here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. I know you were in Kansas City yesterday, had a little banquet convention, I don't want to get it wrong, with Bill Self, and you guys were kind of going back and forth and kind of sharing the memories of the 08 National Championship. You were down in San Antonio, went out with the guys afterwards. My question to you, because you've earned yourself quite the reputation, and I say that endearingly, for being able to have a good time off the court. If you're assembling a crew of just former Kansas basketball players to go out on a night on the town, to go out for a trip to Vegas, who are going to be the guys in your group that you want with you?
Well, I have to say Greg Gurley, because he's been that guy.
I knew that was coming.
He's already been in that crew, so I'd have to say Greg Gurley. I would definitely put Drew Gooden in there. I would put Nick Collison in there. And I'm trying to get some younger guys in here, because I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to hang out with Clyde Lavellet and Paul Dave Robish, I would put Wilt in there for sure, just to see
primetime
rumors
Wilt
are true.
Right.
Like, I've got to see what Wilt is able to do in his prime. Wilt would definitely be in that crew. I'd keep it small. That's about it. Danny Manning, yeah. Because he's Mr. Jayhawk.
Yeah, of course.
And that's about it. So I didn't go young guys. I just went all old guys. Well, yeah, except for Nick and Drew. They're not that old.
I heard a bunch of guys who are Jayhawk legends, and then Greg Gurley. So he's made himself
much.
A legend in other ways, though.
Well, I think he's just been around a legend or two in his day. I'm not putting myself in that category. Don't misunderstand me. But he's very good at meeting people. And there were times in my earlier days where I was a little bit more standoffish than I am now. So it was always nice to have a guy that opened doors and made the small talk that I wasn't willing or able to do when I was younger. Greg fits that bill very well. He's never met a stranger in his whole life.
Was Greg one of the guys who was showing you around on your recruiting visit?
Yeah, Greg was my host, actually.
Oh, was he?
Greg was my host. So it's, if anybody has a problem with me ever going to the University of Kansas, it's Greg's fault.
Is there any? Are there any? Can you delve into that recruiting trip? Is it safe for radio?
Oh, absolutely. I was a young, innocent Mormon boy when I got to school, and I was 16 or 17 years old when I visited, and. You know, Greg was like, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to a party? You want to go to a club, a bar? And I was like, I don't do any of those things. I was like, let's go bowling. He was like, oh, great. And he immediately regretted being my host.
Wait, you wanted to go bowling on your recruiting trip?
And that's what we did. We went bowling on my recruiting trip and had a good time. And I thought it was great. And it was the thing that endeared me to Kansas more than anything else at the time was Roy Williams. But the ability to just go and be somewhere and have people care about you. Because coming from San Diego, it's literally a fair weather city. The weather is always fair. So basketball isn't real popular in San Diego because people would rather be outside than sitting inside a hot gym. So it's fair to say that San Diego fans aren't diehard basketball fans. That's fine. It's a wonderful city. I wish I lived there all the time, but I am not a billionaire, and I only want to live on the beach, and I can't afford to live on the beach. So I live in Indiana.
Well, because...
But it was a great trip because I got recognized. People were like, oh, you're Pollard, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how do they know who I am? I'd never been around that kind of fan before, like the Kansas fans. So second to Roy Williams, and obviously the institution, the fans really brought me in to become a Jayhawk because I had never heard of anything like Late Night in the Fog. And then I got to go to Late Night in the Fog and see that people, 17,000 people knew who I was. I was like, oh my goodness gracious. So it was definitely an eye-opening thing to be there. And Greg was willing to go bowling, even though later on I found out that was the last thing he would ever wanted to do. When he was given the keys to be like, hey, let's go out and have a good time. And this guy, Pollard, comes in and goes, hey, let's go bowling.
And he had no choice, right? Because you're the recruit. It's his job to get you to come to Kansas, so he couldn't fight you on it, right? He had to take you to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA took me to a party, and I didn't want to be there at that party. I was miserable at that party.
Really?
And it was the exact opposite of what I wanted to do. They took me to a party. I don't remember much of it. I just blocked it out because I was just so mad that they decided that was what they were going to do to entertain me, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. So that really was a strike against UCLA right off the bat when I was trying to go there, because that was close to home. I really, really wanted to go to UCLA.
See, that's interesting, because on one point, I'm sure that's one of the last times that you really didn't enjoy a college party in your life. And secondly, that's crazy to me because of the fact that, like, yeah, we just, like, a foregone conclusion, recruits are going to come on campus, they're going to take them out, they're going to take them to parties, they're going to introduce them to all these hot college women, that's what they all want. And in your case, that was, like, the very last thing you wanted to do.
Well, hey, don't put words in my mouth now. I enjoy hanging out with my friends, but I actually, in my entire 4 years of college, might have gone to 3 or 4 college parties.
Really?
I never really got into that. One of the ones I went to was actually after my season was over my senior year. I went to my first and only fraternity party. And I that wasn't really my scene either.
That doesn't seem like your scene.
No, but it was fun. I had a good time. It just wasn't my scene. But to be fair, the University of Arizona, when I took my recruiting trip there, it was actually, my host was a guy that I played high school basketball with. His name was Kevin Flanagan. And he went to my high school in San Diego, obviously. And he took me to a party. And I committed to Arizona because of the party he took me to. So it's a little bit of a strange story to say that one school took me to a party and it completely turned me off. But another school took me to a party and I verbally committed.
Wait, what was the difference at the party, though? There had to have been something better about the Arizona party, right?
The University of Arizona, the party that they took me to, had a lot of tall, girls
there
with black hair. And it just so happens that I'm married to a tall, yep, and girl with black hair. So It really had a lot to do with that.
Well, you know, don't get mad at me if you see, like, front page of the KC Star or the Lawrence Journal World tomorrow, breaking news, Scott Pollard only went to 3 or 4 parties during his time at Kansas, okay? Don't kill the messenger, okay. But I'm just saying that's the biggest breaking news we've ever had on these airwaves.
Yeah, right.
Scott, appreciate the time, man. Always good to catch up with you, and safe travels back to Indiana.
Thanks, Nick. Anytime. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Sounds good, man. That is Scott Pollard of Kansas basketball fame on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. I wouldn't have guessed. Only a handful of parties for Mr. Pollard during his time at Kansas. He just has the look, and there have been stories, and now I have to wonder if they've been myths that Scott Pollard is this giant partier who knows how to have a good time. He did have his kid in his car. So maybe
he's holding back.
Maybe he was downplaying it a little bit to set a good example. Father's Day's coming up. You know, you don't want to be setting yourself up to be just this raunchy, wild, crazy father. So more props to him. Always a good time catching up with Scott Pollard. I'm Nick Schwert. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Let's talk some Royals coming up next.